Blog Talk Radio.
Where's that? Oh, I don't know. It's somewhere along the coast. It's south of Los Angeles and north of San Diego. How's that? Does that help? Well, anyway, we're having absolutely great time here. Right now it's about like 9:30. We had a gorgeous weather today. It was wonderful. So what specifically on this show that we're going to talk about, we're staying at this most fabulous hotel called the Waterfront Resort. And so I'm going to talk about the hotel and this fantastic chef at the hotel as well. And I have, I have more than one person that's actually hosting with me. Well, you already know who's here. That was Esther. Wait a minute. I know, they not only look alike, but they sound alike, too. Isn't that like something, Tim, what's that show? They look alike, they sound alike?
Sound alike, well, no, that's the one.
The Parent Trap or something?
Parent Trap, I almost think of the Wonder Twins.
Oh, the Wonder Twins. But, okay, so right now, as usual, before I have my first guest on who's going to talk about the hotel, I have to have a word from the sponsor.
Would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with cowboy dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these absolute fabulous brownies on www.brownies.com, and not only that, they have made cookies. They've made double chocolate cookies. God, how wonderful. And they've also made caramel pecan cookies, who I don't really care about. It's caramel pecan cookies. It's not chocolate, so I don't, you know. But otherwise, but they're good anyway. So anyway, we have, my co-host.
Tim Wasberg here.
And where the hell are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles, but I work for a national television show called The Inside Reel, which is based out of L.A. as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we've been palling it up here since I think before the TMS, the Travel Media Showcase. But right now I really want to talk first about the hotel. Who do we have on?
Hi, Merle. Hi, Tim. It's J.D. Schaefer, general manager of the Waterfront Beach Resort.
How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
I have to tell you the one thing that I know that you probably think of other things that stand out about the hotel, but I have to comment the one thing that stands out regarding that I saw in terms of the rooms. I have never had a hotel where I can walk by the lamp and the light goes on the floor so I don't have to trip on anything on the way to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's fun, and that's a nightlight that comes out, illuminates at the bottom of the nightstand, and it's just, you know, how we kind of design the room around us, you know, what works best for each one of us when we're traveling, and also outside of that are the touch lamps.
The touch lamps, yeah. Oh, remember that from so many years ago. touch lamps were an in thing. But now, you know, they're of use now more, you know. Yeah, I know, that's, which is the other thing. It's like, you know, the middle of the night or whatever, and it's like, oh, I need to find that. Where's that switch? Where's that button? Where's that switch? You know, so, and it's...
exactly. And I just need to touch the lamp.
It's not the most important thing of the hotel. I mean, it's not like that's the only thing. But that's the thing for me that I thought stood out far from just like from any hotel I've gone to. Let's talk about the other things, though.
Sure. Still in the room, Merle, also the chair, you know, the ergonomic chair is real important. That's Herman Miller at the desk. And also the space, you know, when you go in a guest room, you're always looking for space. We try to keep things clutter-free and an outlet. Everybody's looking for outlets. So we've got a nice quad outlet right there at the entrance foyer, and kind of boutique lighting and a boutique feel and more comforts of home, too, in the room. And the rooms are holding great. We finished this up just about 2007,
mm-hmm.
and we're due in the next couple of years to go through them again, but tremendous guest feedback still with how great the rooms are.
Yeah, the rooms seem to breathe, I would say. You know, they have that sort of, they're interactive, but they breathe. You feel like an energy coming from them.
Yeah, and the fact that they're all ocean view. We have 290 with 34 suites at the end riser ocean front, we call them, but still everything has the ocean view right on the Pacific coast there with 8.5 miles of uninterrupted coastline. It's just a perfect spot for the leisure traveler and the business traveler and also the conventioneer.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous view.
Thank you.
And it's nice. It's funny. It's like not the type of ocean view like boardwalk kind of looking, but lifelike looking.
Right. Now, have you experienced beautiful sunsets? I'm sure you have.
We did tonight.
We
just took some great shots.
Yeah, and that pier, that's the longest pier on the Pacific coast here. And it's just beautiful when the sun sets right behind it. So it's very pretty.
Mm, yeah. So let's get back to, in terms of the hotel, to talk about the facilities of the hotel,
mm-hmm.
Like that up on that first floor.
Well, we're AAA 4-diamond rated. We work very hard at that. We have some of the highest service scores in Hilton's portfolio. Also very proud of that, obviously, and those things take a lot of work behind the scenes. We just celebrated 20 years. We were built in 1990. And we're really iconic in the sense of first being in Huntington Beach as a sleepy seaside destination we are. It's kind of coming to life. Hyatt next door is built 7 years later. But we are very proud of that in our community. And 26,000 square feet of meeting space. And really, you know, this recession we've been in, we've really fared well just because we bring a great sense of value and a lot of guests want meaningful travel experiences, and they come to us for just that. Again, we've got that big backyard being our ocean and a lot of activities associated with that, bike rentals and surfing. The whole surfing culture is really, really fun for Huntington Beach. I mean, we are Surf City USA after all. But we try to have a lot of fun, too. We've had a lot of activities at the pool deck this summer season with a reptile petting zoo, of all things. We've reinvented ourselves.
Petting zoo in the back?
Yeah. that's YouTube, and a lot of families have just filmed it on their own. But, you know, we have beach activities, I'm sorry, pool activities that are run by the rec staff, and one of them is just that. I think Sunday afternoons we had the reptile petting zoo come in for a couple hours, and that just consists of snakes and all types of creatures that kids can get up front and personal with. So that's just an example of some of the great things that we're able to do.
You having them in tomorrow?
I wish, Merle. Summer's
Sunday?
Kind of behind
Saturday.
Us
Saturday?
After
Saturday.
Labor Day.
Saturday, okay.
I mean, there is a great thing.
Next summer.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to say that's great is, like, when you come into the actual lobby, the beauty of that, could you talk about that? Because that's what usually sells a lot of people on the hotel when they come in.
Well, when the lobby itself has a beautiful cascading water feature that is really all-consuming. It's definitely something that is the focal point. And up a level is the what we call the mezzanine or 26th level, where the restaurant resides, the first floor guest rooms, and then also the pool. So you know, you talk about the view, the picturesque view. You're looking straight out into the blue water from that point, and that really is spectacular.
Oh yeah, it's just I know. It makes it very comfortable to eat outside, and as a matter of fact, that's well, we'll go into this later when the chef calls on calls to have it's like you know you're eating kind of a lot of outdoors poolside, a lot of poolside. To eat, you know, and the fact that even if it gets a little cool, you have those the lamps.
Yeah, we have an undercover outside in the restaurant that has built-in heaters, and of course we have the portable heaters. But yeah, the restaurant itself, we definitely have more seats outside than we do inside for all the right reasons because of the great temperatures year-round.
So what is, I'm just curious, what is like the coldest it gets there?
You know, Merle, I have to tell you, the coldest most likely will be in December, January, and it could drop down in the high 60s, and that being
me?
The high.
It could drop down in the high.
Yeah, that being the high. We're very fortunate, and, you know, having been in Southern California years. Yeah, it's just, you know why there's a lot of people here. It's simply because the weather is just unbelievably consistent throughout the year, and it's so, so nice.
Well, it was great. I was looking down from the room on the pool area because I'm on that side of the resort, and it's wonderful to see, like, the energy around the pool because you have the music, you know, you allow Mayer playing, but then, you know, you could tell everybody's, like, sunning outside, and that's great to see because that's what sort of fuels that kind of pool area mentalities. You have to have people there and all that kind of stuff, and it seems to really capture that. Could you talk a little more about that and what the staff does to make people feel at home, especially when they're sitting, whether it's towels or stuff like that or drinks and stuff? Could you speak to that?
I sure can. And clearly we're in the entertainment business. We are selling an intangible that really the guest takes away, only the memory they have of their experience and time spent with us. So there's an outlet to the far side of the pool called Surf Hero, and I briefly alluded to that. That's the legend of Mankota. And we've played up on that whole story with 200 years ago he sacrificed his life for the calm surf waves that we have. And the legend of Surf Hero, Mankota rather, is our surf hero. And, you know, throughout the summer we've had a lot of fun with that, and the recreation department still knows about it. But we cater through Surf Hero Outlet to all the guests at the pool, and that's a separate menu. And Jeff can talk a little bit more about that. And that feeds off the dining patio area, like we just spoke about with Shades.
So you have that's two places, Shades and
right.
Okay.
Shades and Surf Hero. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, so you got a fitness center.
We do have a fitness center that, you know, I really think most of our guests like to, you know, spread out on 8.5 miles in front of us with a brisk walk in the morning or afternoon run. But, yeah, we're state-of-the-art, and it has all the pre-core equipment, and it's very clean and has plenty of equipment in it to keep our guests busy.
And I wanted to comment that you also have a free laundry. When I say... You can do your own laundry for free. It'll only cost you to buy the detergent. That's it.
Yeah, and the detergent's, of course, available in the room. But we've kind of colored that room itself green, and we call it our green room because it has a lot of energy-efficient laundry equipment in it that is complimentary for guest use. And everything made up in the room is from post-consumer recyclable refabricated countertops and everything from lighting. So it's really where we hang our hat with some sustainability efforts that the resort's been able to achieve last few years.
Yeah. Guess who I have on now? Guess who's on?
Jeff.
Yeah!
Okay.
Hello?
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you, JD?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, we've been talking about the hotel. We went inside and had a demo, a food demo. which oh, but first we'll have gone into the fact that we went to the farmer's market here. And
it was a beautiful afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now I wanted to ask you, in terms of the farmers, was that small? I mean, compared to, is it usually like?
Well, here in Huntington Beach, we have a farmer's market on Friday. That's the one that we went to all together yesterday. And we also have a much larger one on Tuesday nights on Main Street. And it has a bigger selection, a wider variety of gifts, as well as produce market.
I mean, yeah, Chef, could you actually talk about, like, certain things that you were looking at there? I mean, I know we were talking yesterday about, like, the baby squash and the zucchini and all that kind of stuff. Could you talk about the different things you find over there that you're able to, like, be inventive with and sort of push into the menu in ways that you find creative?
Well, the farmer's market, it keeps us educated on the seasons. Every year is a little different. For example, heirloom tomatoes, which we bought a lot of yesterday and used in the demo, sometimes they're around longer in the year, and sometimes they end much sooner. You know, yesterday we were lucky enough to find multiple farmers selling a variety of the tomatoes. So, you know, that keeps us in touch with, you know, with the season and what's out there and what the farmers are doing for us.
What is, when you say heirloom tomatoes, just so people understand, what is that? What is the meaning of heirloom tomatoes versus just tomatoes?
Heirloom tomatoes have never been... what's the word I'm looking for? They're a string of tomatoes that have never been altered with or you know, taken into a laboratory and made differently so they're more red, so they're more yellow. It's just a first growth tomato that's never been messed with. So it's a tomato that it's just much more flavorful and very seasonal, and it's what we look for all summer, and we're excited for summer. You know, just for the tomatoes.
Well, one of the things I had noticed...
It's never been cloned, I guess. It would be
yeah, one of the things I had noticed in going to a farmer's market with heirloom tomatoes is like, in terms of, like, the size and colors all make a difference in taste and texture and things like that. That it, in other words, if you get a large yellow tomato, it may not be the same taste, whatever, as a small yellow tomato, things like that.
There's just a ton of varieties of heirloom tomatoes, and you know, typically they're not even the best looking tomato, but they're always the best tasting tomato. They don't grow perfectly round like you see at the grocery store. They're odd shaped, they're odd sizes, they're odd colors. But once you cut into one and you know, taste it, you know what you're missing from, you know, your typical grocery store tomato.
If somebody comes to stay here, do you offer a you know, what we had where you can take people to a farmer's market and do a demo and, you know, wind up eating some of the food?
Well, we try to, you know, we talk to our guests, you know, on a daily basis. And if that's something that they wanted to see, absolutely, we would be happy to walk to the farmer's market with them or design a menu specifically for them, as we do for a lot of our weddings. And, you know, we met a gentleman last night when we were doing grilling with the chef, who is a regular guest with us, and, you know, he asked us if we could do some, you know, some special menus for him, and, you know, we really had a good time talking with him, and absolutely, we'd love to, you know, make his stay better by introducing new things to him, you know, on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even get into the ballrooms. Jay, do you have with the ballrooms? How many are there here?
Yeah, we have two oceanfront ballrooms, and then one larger grand ballroom. That's pretty much your typical hotel experience. And that's 5,700 square feet, and two oceanfront can easily sit 300 people thereabouts for, you know, very popular for wedding receptions and corporate day meetings as well.
That's great. Oh, you know, I have a question. I'm very curious with the I don't even know what the law is around at this moment in California. It goes back and forth. But the same-sex weddings, I don't know, is the law here?
It's been repealed, yeah.
It's been repealed, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's again
it's
okay.
Now okay. Have you found, in other words, let's say, has like business not gone up a lot, but has we gotten more business because of the law got passed and
people coming here? One might think that because it's a new market that has has opened up. But we're slow to feel that impact, at least for us. But we've had our fair share of smaller marriages with same-sex marriages.
You know, even smaller,
Yes. Well, in that case, we have had had several, and we have gotten a lot of interest because of the recent state law passing. But now it's been, I think, just recently again on hold here officially.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Now I wondered because I was someplace else. I was in Iowa and I was asking the same question. So I was just kind of curious about that. But let's go into back to the food though. So we had this demo. So tell us about that. With the demo, we were basically doing like salad, right?
We did a panzanella salad, and as you know, when we did the demo yesterday, I explained that's really our goal with food is to keep it as simple as possible and just focus on the ingredients. You know, everything that we used in our panzanella salad, which is a bread salad that focuses on all of the great produce that we found at the farmer's market. And that's really what we try to do. You know, I use the analogy, you can't make a great tomato soup out of mediocre tomatoes.
Right.
So what we did yesterday is we found all of the prime produce at the farmer's market, and we incorporated it into a salad so that all those flavors would stand out and the showcase would be on the ingredients, not necessarily the preparation or the masking of the flavors. Does that make sense?
Where do you find, Chef, that the here for around this area specifically, the guests' palate? You know, what are they able to eat? What do you find that they like to eat that you like to prepare? You know, across the board, because obviously we had some great meat last night, but also other things.
We had a lot of produce last night. We had a very market-driven barbecue out by the pool deck, and we feel that our guests, you know, they're people that are outdoor enthusiasts. They are healthy. And a lot of our guests, you know, travel a lot, and as we all know, when we travel, it's very difficult to eat healthy. So our menu is kind of driven around, you know, more market-driven, so that people can come to the restaurant and feel like they've got a healthy yet, you know, very flavorful meal. And that's why we use all the fresh produce, and again, not try to mask the flavors with, you know, heavy sauces and things like that.
And we had that interesting dessert, the root beer float.
Well, again, we're by the beach, so we want to make things fun. We had root beer floats that were made with, you know, our house-made vanilla ice cream and a root beer that's made here.
You do make your own ice cream here.
We do make all of our ice cream for Shades at the hotel.
Oh, no wonder it tasted so good.
And the root beer is made here in Huntington Beach by a local brew pub. So we keep it all local and sustainable.
And you had those red velvet cupcakes.
Those are a big favorite. We had the red velvet cupcakes and some devil's food cupcakes. And the hardest part with those is, you know, to keep people from fighting over them. But we managed to maintain everybody behaving last night.
So did you say you're inviting us for dessert after we finish the show?
Sure.
do you make anything other than the vanilla? Do you make flavored ice creams?
We have all sorts of. We probably have five or six flavors a day.
Then have to come for dessert.
Yeah, we rotate those daily. It's kind of a fun thing to decide what we're going to do, and there's a lot of experimentation that goes on. And I like to think that we hit the mark 90% of the time. Sometimes we get a little too creative, and maybe it doesn't work out. But everybody has a great time with the ice creams.
Okay, so we also now, that steak was so good. That steak was good, too.
That was prime porterhouse. It's dry-aged prime beef. We have a great relationship with our butchers, and that's a really special steak. It's a great steak. As we all know, porterhouse is, you know, part New York steak and part tenderloin, all cooked on the bone, and it's a big favorite when we do the grilling with the chefs out by the pool.
What about the shrimp marinade? What were you using with that? Because that especially had a nice pop in the flavor as well.
Oh, yeah.
We used an assortment of herbs. Last night was basil, rosemary, and just olive oil. We marinated those overnight with garlic as well, and we let those marinate and then just throw them on the grill, and that's all she wrote. Again, trying to keep it simple so you taste the shrimp and just natural ingredients.
Now, I also wanted to comment on the squash flowers. And I wanted to ask you, now, were those specifically from zucchini?
Yes. They were okay. Zucchini squash flowers. People at the market saw them. They went crazy, so we decided to buy them and cook them up for you guys. It was very fun for us as well.
You mean when I dragged you over there?
You didn't drag me. You didn't have to drag me at all. I was excited as well.
Yeah, I mean it's only, I think, from what I'm getting, Italian restaurants will offer that. Most other restaurants won't. I don't see too many of that, unless somebody like a gourmet or you know something like that. And what I wanted to ask you about that. Is when you do with squash flowers, I mean, is that the only plant? I mean, can you do that with pumpkin flowers?
I think the squash blossoms are much more refined, and you know their leaves are more their petals are more tender. I don't think you can do them with larger squash. You know, you'll always see a squash blossom on a very very small zucchini. You're not going to see one on a larger one. So. I don't know the answer to that question, but I know that I've never done them with other squash other than the baby zucchini.
But I was actually watching you, Chef, prep those yesterday, and, you know, where you were soaking them and then placing them out very specifically. You know, it's simple, yet it's very effective. I mean, could you sort of walk people through the process by which you did that? Because
well, there's two
I thought
ways
it was very
to do them. There's two ways to do them. You can blanch them whole, like you saw me doing yesterday. We blanched them quickly in salted boiling water. We took them out when they were just tender, and we put them into an ice bath to stop the cooking. At that time, we dry them, and then we stuff them. You can stuff them with a million different things. We chose goat cheese last night. We stuffed them with the goat cheese, and we quickly threw them back on the grill to heat them up, you know, when we serve them to you. The other way that I've done those a lot is you take them raw, and you julienne them, or you cut them in very small strips, and you finish a pasta dish with those. So right before your pasta dish is ready to be served, you will toss those in there, and their aroma comes off in a very, you know, in a very nice way in the pasta. That's the two different ways that I've always been taught to serve them.
Yeah, it's not that often also that you can get. Squash flowers.
They're like an heirloom tomato, except with a much smaller window. It's you know only a few weeks, you know, at the beginning, and then again at the end of summer when those are available. And you know, quite honestly, in Huntington Beach, you're not going to see that very often. And I think that we're all lucky to have found those at the market. I frequent the market most of the times on Tuesday nights on Main Street, and I don't think I've seen those you know very often at all. So I was surprised. To see those yesterday when you pointed those out, and it was a great treat.
Yeah, that's what was there? Some of the other things that we had. It was
we bought stone fruit. You know, we bought some yellow peaches, some white
right.
peaches,
oh,
some
yeah,
bouas, which is a you know a kumquat and a plum mix, which we just you know cut those up and ate like candy during the demo. You know, there's. Again, I don't want to cook those or grill those or do anything with them. They're best eaten, you know, eaten raw, you know, just why we ate them like candy.
Yeah. And we had three breakfasts. Yeah, we had breakfast, right. There was some unusual. You had, what it was like eggplant?
We had two really unusual dishes for breakfast this morning. One of them, the first one is what I call bullseyes. And that is a slice of a roasted eggplant, again, marinated in olive oil and herbs. We roast that in the oven. We serve that with a spicy tomato sauce, and on top of that, a sunny side up egg with chili flake. It's a very Tuscan Italian dish. And the other dish we served was the lemon ricotta hotcakes. They look like regular pancakes, but when you bite into them, they're kind of melting your mouth goodness. They're made with ricotta cheese, egg yolks, egg whites, and lemon zest.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully you folks enjoyed those as well.
Oh, yeah, we certainly did. Everything you made, we enjoyed.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So, and I guess, by the way, I guess like a catering menu, of course, would be different than, you know, when you're doing a restaurant menu, right?
Well, to some extent. We do a lot of custom catering menus. So if whether it's a group, a business, or a wedding, a lot of people, you know, they feel like they want to help pick their menu for their special day, and we're more than happy to do that with them. Sometimes we do a mix between the restaurant menu and the catering menus, or we'll design a specific menu just for those people, just for that event. And we're happy to do that. That's what makes our job fun.
Now, in terms of, and I haven't seen, because we talked about the few ballrooms, what are the smaller places here that people will have? Do people, like, tend to even have, you know, a wedding, or, I mean, the reception, like, maybe, anybody do it, like, poolside?
Sure,
like
we
that?
Do receptions. We do receptions by the pool. We do a lot of lunches by the pool. And then we do weddings, yes, of all shapes and sizes. We'll do a wedding maybe for a small group, possibly even for an intimate dinner in the boardroom, up to a giant wedding that in the ballroom that is very food savvy, where we'll design, you know, very intricate menus for that particular wedding.
Yeah. That's
a lot of our work nowadays is custom, and I think that's the trend in our industry.
Right. Yeah, and should I, by the way, assume that in terms of when they're doing photos, it's like the at the waterfall in the front?
Uh-huh.
Is that,
is
any other spots, let's say, in the hotel that people tend to want to get their wedding photos done?
Well, I think the stairs, you know, there's a grand staircase on both sides.
Up
in the middle of the lobby, and that's often a favorite spot. And then a lot of the couples themselves actually go across, you know, on the sand, on the beach itself as well.
I think also we have some interesting artwork on the wall outside of shades with the glass bowls. We've seen a lot of bride and grooms taking photos there as well lately.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I'll have to go and take some shots of that. Oh, yeah, the glass bowls, the ones we were looking at going, I wonder what that is. I wonder who painted those. And I just said, oh, somebody just came by. Put it up there. No one's even noticed. So in terms of, and by the way, in terms of the decor of, like, do you have, are there any, like, pieces of artwork or painting or something that people like flaunt themselves. So I mean, that people seem to be attracted to in particular. That's
plein
here
air.
That like, oh, make sure you see the whatever.
Mm. Well, you know, we've had our fair share of rotating art throughout the resort over the years, but right now, in our gift shop, which is part of the Surf Here experience with the Starbucks and the grocer and the deli concept. There is a plein air artist there that's quite common, obviously, with our destination being so a lot of wide open space and preserved nature areas that these plein air artists will do their work, and it's for sale in the hotel, so it's on display in the Surf Hero.
Okay, that's good, because I'll take a look at it. Before or after dessert.
Yeah, and then, you know, because of our destination, we pay tribute to the surfing culture, and some of the older boards are on display that are on loan to us from the surfing museum downtown. And so there's some very eclectic old surfboards and photos as well, kind of scattered throughout the property.
Uh-huh. Do you have an executive suite or anything like that? Executive suites here or anything? Or
we
presidential
do, yeah.
Suite or anything?
We have a majestic presidential suite that's on the top floor of the property, and it's on the outer edge of the building, so it has panoramic views It's really designed for a couple. However, we do some entertainment in there. We've got to move some furniture around, but it's very, very nicely handsome, appointed with hardwood floors, very, very spacious bathroom with all the amenities, as you can well imagine.
Right.
But it's palatial. And then next to that is one step down. We call it our governor's suite. And then we also are fortunate to have many other larger suites, too, that really more hospitality-driven.
The one we went into was room 1205. Was that?
Yeah, now that's a suite that actually is for multi-use. I mean, that suite is spacious enough to have a meeting room with banquet furniture brought in for up to 20 people, which has been done. And a lot of meeting planners want something different, especially for strategy and planning sessions, and that's a great venue for that room. But it also can be an extension of the adjoining room for additional space for sleeping, or, as I mentioned, corporate meetings, or, of course, a bride-ready room. And that's when we've got, 10 brides getting ready for a special day, and they all can go up there and have the TV on and music and get ready all together in one room.
Great, yeah. Is the presidential suite occupied tonight?
It should be, because we're sold out.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
And I hope we're getting a lot of money
for it. Take a look at it. I was going to say that the president wasn't here today, so it must be open, so we can go and stay in that one. Did I miss anything about the hotel, about talking about it?
Not from my perspective.
Okay,
thank you. we think of ourselves as a very special property in the Hilton portfolio, as you can tell by Jeff's creative culinary style, he brings, and again the fact that we're so embedded in the community itself, and our property is fortunate enough to have reinvested in itself to stay current, fresh, and very clean looking. Yet hanging on to our, again, iconic status, being 20 years old. And we have a lot of fun, and we're at the beach, and that's, again, that memory we want to have our guests take away is the beach funness that we create.
Well, no, because it does have an exceptional identity. There's a lot of hotels that in a portfolio like Hilton that have, certain things about it, but you guys, when you come to this specific property, you get a different feeling than perhaps all of that. It has to do with the location, has to do with the staff, and
sure,
it has to do with the way the place is laid out, but it does have this specific identity.
Well,
yeah, like
well
I come
said.
In and I don't get that it's a chain, like a Hilton.
Right. Right.
Which
well,
is
that's
nice.
A compliment.
I mean, you
that's
know.
That's a compliment, sure. And our website, waterfrontresort.com, has...
Waterfrontresort.com?
Correct.
Okay.
Has all the offerings that we've talked about, and you can also find us through Hilton.com by searching City Huntington Beach. But we have our own standalone website, waterfrontresort.com, that has all special offers and different room types and great photography, so the user can certainly see everything we've been discussing tonight.
Great. And as far as the menus, are the menus online for people to catch, what they have, either sample menus or something like that? I don't mean for the catering. I mean, to have lunch or dinner?
They're all there in PDF form off of our Shades menu, yes.
Okay.
As well as the banquet menus and the catering menus are online.
Okay. That's fabulous. Well, I appreciate talking to the both of you.
Yes, thanks, guys.
It's absolutely wonderful here.
Well, it was nice having you the last couple of days. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. Well, and where are you going to be at 10:30, Jeff?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Hopefully in bed.
Oh,
you're in good
not
hands.
Here.
No, Ben, who was grilling with me last night, who's in charge of the restaurant, he's there and ready to make dessert for you.
Okay. yeah, you could alert him to that. Okay. As I said, I really appreciate you calling in, and we've all had a great time here.
Good. Glad to hear that. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, isn't this fabulous?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, because Huntington Beach has a style all its own. When you're in California, the thing is every single beach community has their own specific thought of, like, who they are and what they do. But the thing is, here you get a feeling of relaxation, but also the fact that, you know, you're going to be able to have what you want. You can have the food you like. You can have, like, the relaxation. The beach is right here, all these things.
So, okay, now let's go back to what did we do since we've been
here? Well, the one thing that, you know... the one thing we should jump into, because you and I have done it twice today, is the aspect of the segs.
The segue, yeah, but what do they call beach segs?
It's segging on the beach.
Segging on the beach, yeah. Yes. That was quite an interesting thing. You know, that was so... Actually, it was, like, almost funny. I mean, like... I'm going there thinking, everybody knows how to ride the Segways. And it's like, everybody had to take lessons. You know?
Yeah, I mean, most people talk, it's like riding a bike, but it's not quite it's not a bike. It's completely different in the thought process. You know?
Yeah, but the type of thing is like once you get how it functions, it's like when you ride a bike, you don't think about what you're doing. You know, and the funny thing is, it's like, and I never, I don't ride a bike anymore. The reason I don't ride a bike is I can't stand hand pedals. It's like I'm pedaling with my feet, I want to stop with my feet. You know what I mean?
But the weird thing about these segs specifically is that it is all about the aspect of pressure on your foot using your ankles. And you make everything go forward based on sort of that aspect. It's really interesting.
Because it's where your weight is shift, where your once you get it, it's like you're balanced going on it. It's set up so you're balanced going on. If you stand perfectly straight, I mean, the guy kept on was saying to me, like, because I was, you know, at some point it was like moving a little. He said, you're still moving. But the thing is, because my leg was bothering me, it was shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, like, you know. But if you stand perfectly, you know, straight up, you don't go anywhere. It stops.
Well, I mean, different teachers have different things. But, I mean, like, this morning you just jumped on and took off. You know, because I had not been on a seg before. This was actually my first time on a seg. And, you know, as soon as I got up there and I was watching how you were doing it, it was easy when I got up there, as long as I understood that, you know, the actual motion of the seg responds to your body, exactly what you're doing at body at any given moment. That's really what it was. And you showed me how to do that, which was very kind of you.
Oh, good. I'm glad. But as I was commenting to the guy, I just did this like about 2 weeks ago when I was in the Quad Cities, and then twice in June when I was in Virginia. So it's you know, easier for me. But it keeps getting easier for me.
Was this any different in terms of because the wheels were different? Does that make any difference?
It does make a difference. See, what I've gone through is I've gone through different ones that have different speeds, meaning like there'll be one that they'll have some that 7 miles an hour. That's it. You can't go a max of 7 miles an hour. I'm not sure whether they're set that, whether they are already that way, or they purposely set them up. And the reason, for instance, if they were doing for 7 miles an hour, because I was in Yorktown, and we were basically in the streets, but it was an area where there's no traffic. So you weren't, you know, it wasn't like, let's, you know, take off and whiz around kind of thing. And then they would find places. Because when there is places that give that there is actually an opportunity for you to go fast, then that's where they'll go. The maximum is 12.
How fast do you think you were going today? Because when we were on the street in traffic on Main Street.
Uh huh.
So I mean, we were going at a pretty good clip at a certain point.
Well, you know, I forgot to ask them. I thought that because they call them 12X.
Yeah, no, because he said there was no speed limit on they weren't set with any speed limits.
Yeah, so he didn't set the, which means, in other words, you can go a max of 12 mm-hmm. on them if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But now, as far as the wheels, by the way, because like these were not the biggest wheels I've been on. I've had, you know, thicker wheels, and I'm not clear as to why in terms of. Surface.
Is it the tread? Was the tread different on it? Because they look like they were more, as our guy in the afternoon was saying,
yeah.
a little more off-road.
Maybe? Yes, yes, yes. The tread, I think that because they wanted it to be able to use on the beach and on the sand, and the smooth sand, which we didn't get to the point. We didn't get to do smooth sand. We can't.
You got the rough sand.
Yeah. Well, we came back late because there was only 7 minutes.
That was this morning, yeah.
Since everybody had to learn, God damn. Get on there, figure it out yourself. Come on, I want to get the hell out of here. I want to ride the damn thing. You know, but it was really nice of them to allow us to come back.
Oh, but the one thing I got to say this morning is that when we were trying to look back and you had an armored car chasing you.
Yes.
Look back, and he's like beeping, and you're like, you know, we're trying to pull off a bank heist here, you know? You know?
I know. Oh, no, actually, you know what it could have looked more like?
What?
Like the mall cops.
That we were the
mall cops, and we were guarding the,
yeah.
the truck.
Just turn back and show our badge and ready to go. You know? Oh, yeah. That was funny, I must admit.
It's not as common to be able to go out into the streets
like
that.
Is that usually not allowed in other places you've done it?
It's not. I'm not sure whether it's just not allowed. Like the first time I was in Santa Barbara, you're not allowed in the streets with them.
Okay.
You can't go in the streets. You have to be sidewalk or the bicycle path.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think, and I'm not sure in terms of whether they're not allowed more than just, you know, it's not a good idea, you know, to be in the streets. There are times when that there's problems because when you're sharing it on a bicycle path with, let's say, joggers, and they're pissed.
We had the skater, but on the bike path today over the beach, we had the skaters. We had the we had the skaters. We had the bicyclers. We had, you know, different boarders. We had everybody just running in between, and we're just like zipping in and out of them.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But I have to say, I mean, as far as the sand, it's really for me, I had a lot of problems. It was bothering, and I have to the bottom of my feet were kind of hurting from doing the sand. And it's not like on the sand. And, you know, uncomfortable. Well, if you want to call it. It was like, okay, move already. It's like.
Yeah, I see. I had that trouble right when we were coming back because I wasn't going over the path he had set. And he was sort of surprised that, you know, being a guy and being a, you know, bigger bone guy, that I was not falling over. I was maintaining my balance. And it was weird because I push forward almost my whole entire body, and it wouldn't go. It was just like it was waiting to make sure I could maintain my balance to keep going.
Yeah.
And then it started moving forward.
By the way, people, Tim is like 6'6" mm-hmm. and weighs like about 550 pounds.
Oh. No, it's a little too much, but about 275, 280. Yeah,
yes.
And it's
there is a max when on Segway.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, definitely. So, but it's because it was responding to me when I was on the pass. You just like, you know, you're taking off like a shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's for everyone. Everybody of every single size can enjoy these, and that's the great thing. So.
Yeah, kids, I've seen, well, not kids, no. They don't like
Oh, no, but you should see the kids today. They were so happy and so interested. Like,
oh, yeah.
We'd zip by them like like a parent trailing behind his kids in one of those little cage type things.
Yeah, right.
And he was looking, he's like, Daddy, what is that, you know? And
yeah.
So they're still interested, and they want to know how they can do it. Some of the teenage girls were looking like, wow, what is that? They were interested. So it's interesting to all age brackets, which is great.
You know, I kept as I forgot the guy's name that was doing with us while he was.
Oh, was it Gino?
While he was doing things, going on the sides and like flowing back and forth and doing all these things, I was about to be screaming out, "Show off! Show off!" You know?
Well, because I asked him if he was a skater, because that's more skater moves, because the
that's
skaters
true,
that keep doing
yeah.
that with
yeah.
the lawn boards, because they have lawn boards that are separated now,
yeah.
that you can put one leg out and one leg in, and he was doing that, but yeah, it was total show-off.
So, okay, so now that I got 9 minutes left to the show, what else did we do? That was the best, I know, really stood out. I mean, because all we seemed to be doing was eating.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
well, no, yeah, because we did end up at another place today for eating as well. We ended up at Fred's Mexican Cafe.
Yes.
Which, I mean, God, the food there, it just, like, it was so much food that, you know, you can't even I was having trouble, like, getting through the fajitas. They had these great sizzling fajitas there that I...
Yeah.
I'm not sure. What did you have, Merle?
Oh, I had the steak rancheros.
Mm.
That was really good. Steak was very tender. It was definitely a lot of... they have very good guacamole.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And then there was the thing that... You know, like the chicken that tastes like fish, as we call it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Which you tried. Yeah, I remember. Right. Well, because it's like this little, it's like a chicken dough situation where it's like chicken.
Mexican egg roll, Mexican roll.
It's a Mexican egg rolls, yeah. And it has like chicken, black bean, pico de gallo, and then it's topped with this Acapulco sauce after it's fried. It's just like... It's phenomenal, but it's not what you'd expect when you bite into it. Because I even asked you, what did you think that was? He's like, I don't know.
I have
know.
No idea.
It's just one of those things.
Oh, I thought the weirdest thing was the calamari.
Yeah, you had the calamari. Yeah, what'd you think?
We couldn't figure out that it was calamari. I have no idea. But it didn't you know, calamari, you always think that you get the little round things. This thing comes out, I'm going, what is this thing? You know, I would have not recognized it was calamari. It's not that it tasted bad.
Yes.
It's just I would have recognized calamari. But the one that the first one we went to, what was it called? Wait a minute. Sandy's?
Sandy's, yeah, Sandy's Grill.
Sandy's, oh.
Yeah. That was good, yeah, because I was trying to remember what you had there. So.
Well, there I was tasting, the ribs, the dry rub rib, falling off the bone ribs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, I had their tortilla soup to start off with.
Oh.
And the thing is that it had such chunks of, like, chicken, cheese, everything. It was just like you took it out of the bowl and you could see the melting cheese and all the stuff around it, and really... Really, and you're like, wow, this is chunky. Because when you have that kind of soup, you expect something like that.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And I had, there was like, I don't know if you call it a salad, of like a towering thing that had lobster and shrimp.
Mm.
I had that. I said, I went for the, like, starters, the appetizers, a few of those to taste. And then the third thing I had was the, I'll call it sushi, but it's not it's not marinated. What do you call it when, like, it cut up, just chopped up?
Kind was of that thing? Ceviche?
No, it wasn't ceviche. It was tuna.
Oh,
it was
the pokey.
Yes,
it was pokey
tuna. Okay. And it was, like, in small little chunks, mm-hmm. kind of. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, see, I went for – it was interesting. There was so much great on the menu, but I wanted to go for something – I don't know. I want something standard, something hearty. And I ended up getting the fish and chips.
Uh-huh.
And the thing with the fish and chips, which a lot of the women at the table really liked, was the aspect is that it was that truffle oil.
Truffle. Oh, I didn't get.
And they had sweet potato fries and the regular fries, and they're covered in truffle stuff. You know, it's great.
Really? Oh, I wanted to tell. I was curious about. I didn't ask them.
Yeah.
About the sweet potato fries, because I'm there are not many places that actually make their own, and I was curious. I didn't ask them.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure. But I mean, again, I had the fish and chips, so
yeah.
So they had these really long, crispy, tender, you know, fillets that just breaded greatly. You know, because I've had fish and chips, you know, all over the world, And it's still, you know, it's great to come back here. This is a beach community that's known for this kind of stuff. It was good to see them actually serving it well.
Yeah.
You know, which I really enjoyed.
And this one is, like, located, like, the beginning of the pier.
Yeah, it's beginning of the pier. It's right next to another place, which is a Southern California stalwart, which is called Duke's. They have one in Malibu.
Right.
But this one, you know, is right next to it, right before you go out on the pier.
Yeah, we never ventured all the way on the pier.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty packed.
Which is okay with me.
Well, no, we were close to there on the seg, and the thing is that the problem with when you're dealing with the seg, especially we were talking out on the beach, there's a lot of people, you can't really do it.
That would have been interesting because, like when I was in Santa Barbara, they said you can't go out on the pier. They don't allow them on the pier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of people-wise, but I think they were concerned about, I guess, the wood or the whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess, when it comes to the segways, I mean, they're all different. They're all, you know, different, made for different terrains,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's one thing to consider when you're doing a segway tour.
Well, as they said, during the winter, because if you want to go down and actually go onto the beach, which we weren't able to do because it was not low tide, you know, the thing is that it's you have to be able to come in here at different times of the year. Like, winter is the best time to come and be able to go out, so it's like a football field and drive those segs, because the ones that we were on were made for that as well.
Yeah.
So
I didn't think this – so obviously the Segway tour – Segways have really stood out. Oh, then we went to the Surf Museum?
Yeah, we went to – well, because this is Surf City, USA, so – I mean, we went there and saw that. I mean, there's all kinds of videos and the boards and, you know, your chickens actually got
into it. Yeah, I was going to say, Esther Nunes had a great time there. Oh, they were trying things out. I'm telling you, they were
in the wetsuit.
Oh, my God. I mean, they just couldn't. Yes, I know. I understand. Yeah. They were so thrilled about this. Then I guess I don't know what they did with the walking tour.
Well, the walk, because we were the segs were so fun, we were out there.
Yeah,
on that, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, it's because there's a lot, because we were out on the beach. We, you know, you did a lot of walking on the beach with us as well. That's when there's endless beaches here. That's the one thing you can say.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, we first went to sandcastles.
Yes, we did sandcastles.
You have I have photos. You should see what Esther and Eunice did, what they made. They made, I understand, the best sandcastle over there.
Yeah, because I was watching when they were doing it, and then I went over. I was taken over by the sunset. The sunset here is beautiful.
Was that something? Yeah,
that was really just like it's like melting into the sea. You know?
Yeah, it's so weird. It was so interesting watching it as the shape.
Mm.
As it went down, it was almost like not squarish, but something. Did you notice? Like,
yeah,
it
I did.
Was
because when you're looking at it, and of course, you know, as soon as it dips into it, it almost becomes like like an octagon or some weird shape.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then after that, we had a bonfire and was having some buns.
Yeah.
On the fire.
Yeah. Well, no, and lots of marshmallows too.
Yeah.
Because it's great to see, like, the way it works here in Huntington Beach is that a lot of people can go out there with their families and actually do bonfires on the beach until, you know, 10 p.m. and it's like a big community thing.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah, I'm not sure if you asked or not, as in terms of, like, can anybody just go out and do it, whether they need a permit or they're just
No, I mean, I know a lot of people come from the inland because they, you know, some people don't live near the beach, so it's not as easy for them. But, you know, it's just the aspect, you know, you can't bring, you know, alcohol on the beach or anything like that. It's the only thing. But as long as the fires are within the pits, because the pits are there, like, all the time.
Yeah.
So people can do that. But as long as you just set up early in the day, it's like first come, first serve.
Right. Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't bother having the s'mores, and I want to go downstairs and have some dessert there because I want to taste the ice cream. So I'm going to end the show now. But probably, like, during the week, I want everybody to tune in because I have so much to talk about the Travel Media Showcase and the fam tours we had there. And more about the Catalina Island Fam Tour. So for everybody, I hope everybody's enjoyed this show. And I'll see you.